Translation: by giving charity, a benevolent and merciful person undoubtedly becomes even more auspicious, especially when he gives charity to a person like your good self. Under the circumstances, I must give this little brahmachari whatever charity he wants from me. Purport by Savangris Isi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. If one accepts a poverty-stricken position because of losing money in business, gambling, prostitution, or intoxication, no one will praise him. But if one becomes poverty-stricken by giving up all his possessions in charity, he becomes adored all over the world. Aside from this, if a benevolent and merciful person exhibits his pride in becoming poverty-stricken by giving his possessions in charity for good causes, his poverty is welcome and an auspicious sign of a great personality. Bali Maharaj decided that even though he would become poverty-stricken by giving everything to Vamanadeva, this is what he would prefer. Omgyanata Mandashaga Nandanajalagaya Chakshushunvatam Dina Tasmasi Gurveda Maha Sri Taitadamado Bishtam Stavitam Dina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Ganamayam Dharantispam Vantika Vadaru Vishra Kripa Sindhu Vyavaja Vaditanam Haloe Vaishnava Maha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasari Gaura Vatavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Namo Shivaya Krishna Vidaya Gurudeva Smadhi Sri Gopa Vinda Swami Namo Shivaya Krishna Vidaya Gurudeva Smadhi Sri Gopa Vinda Swami. What is the Manobishtam of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam. The mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the mission of Krishna. This we should try to understand. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta used to say, what is the Manobishtam of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So the mission of Krishna, what is his purpose? Why does he come into this material world? To what instructions does he give? What is it that we are to benefit from? So all the leelas in the Bhagavatam are to instruct us to understand these matters clearly. The Bhagavatam is none different than Krishna. So everything is fully there. Prabhupada said, everything I have to say is in my books. You just have to study them. Under the guidance of Vaishnavas, sadhus, then you can understand the purport of these literatures. Of course, cannot be understood through the process just of gyan. Gyan is knowledge, but one has to have vigyan, realized knowledge. This realized knowledge comes about through bhakti. If one engages in bhakti, then everything becomes very clear. Not by gyan you can understand. Because when we see this world, we must see it, this world, as Krishna's energy. Therefore you cannot see it as Krishna's energy unless you have bhakti for him. Otherwise we will see in a different way. We will not see everything connected to Krishna. So by bhakti, the jnanis, they can come to the platform of giving up, you know, this verse is about renunciation. They can come to the platform of giving up karma, the attempts to enjoy the material world. This is the jnanis. They are fed up with karma. They see, they have the intelligence to understand, actually I'm not getting anything substantial from my karma. Endlessly trying to gratify my senses is not doing me any good, and it is causing great disturbance to my mind, therefore I should renounce. This is the next plot. First karma, then jnana. And then later, if he is fortunate, bahunam jamanayanti jnanavasvati, he will surrender to Krishna, understand that he is everything. But at first, the tendency is to renounce the material world, which is okay, it's better than the position of the karmis. But further to that, one must come to the platform of bhakti, realizing that the material energy belongs to Krishna, and therefore the goal of life is to please Krishna, not just to renounce. So these two witches, karma and jnana, they have to be discarded. So this is the unique philosophy and way of life of the Vaishnavas. They give up karma, and they give up jnana, and they become bhaktis. Of course, some people consider, oh, the bhaktas, they are so sentimental. They are so sentimental. They don't have any really strong jnana. If you talk to them on philosophy, they may appear to be simple fellows. But actually, yes, there's different classes of devotees. There is Kanishtha, Madhyam, and Uttama. So you will find that if you converse with a Uttama, he is very, very well versed in Shastra, and he can speak very highly on all the topics. Madhyam, he can also speak on some aspects that we may not be so fully well versed. And Kanishtha, he may be a little sentimentally a Prakriti bhakta who is a little materialistic. He hasn't thoroughly studied Shastra. Prabhupada said like that the Prakriti devotee, he is not so very well versed in Shastra. He does not study Shastra very well. So in order to advance, we must, under the guidance of the Guru, study Shastra and progress on to the Madhyam platform. And if we want to advance further, the Madhyam, he must take associate of an advanced devotee, otherwise he cannot make further advancement, is described. So the Madhyams, they must always take association of very advanced souls in order for them to progress on in their spiritual lives. So this verse is describing a few things here. The basic principle is that Krishna has come. Bali Maharaj, the verse was there that Bali Maharaj, he was Kripa. Kripa, you gave class, didn't you, Diabetic? He was a Kripa Siddhi. He had the mercy of Prahlad Maharaj. So he could understand, because of the mercy of Prahlad Maharaj, he could understand the position of Krishna. So he was prepared to surrender everything to Krishna. That was his position. So the verse is describing here a little bit about reputation, so we can discuss a little bit about that perhaps. Honor, perhaps, he's in these previous verses has been discussing how Prahlad Maharaj wanted to maintain good reputation, because he was having to all his lands and all his opulence were going to be taken from him anyway. He was figuring, therefore, I should give them voluntarily. In that way, that would be very good for me, because people would say, "Oh, he's given up his lands. He's renounced." So this is a good thing. Now, the question may come, oh, devotee's reputation, what does he think of his reputation? Is he worried about his reputation? Now, this is interesting. Krishna himself, he told Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, if you recall, why Arjun should fight, right, remember? And he said one of the things he would say, you should fight, because if you don't fight, all the generals who hold you in high esteem, they would think that you have fled the battlefield out of fear, right? So he was, Krishna was telling, you should, your reputation is one thing, you shouldn't lose your reputation. For one who is honored, dishonor is worse than death. So Arjuna, he was a bhakta, and Krishna was telling him, you should be careful of your reputation here. So on one hand, Krishna's mentioning these points to Arjuna, but Krishna himself, he has a reputation, but for the sake of his devotee, he gave up his reputation. Remember on the battle, on battlefield of Kurukshetra, he was supposed not to fight. He made a promise that he would not fight. But such was the ferocity of the battle that at one point, who was it? Duryodhana, wasn't it? Bhima? Yeah, he was coming to kill Arjuna. So even though Krishna had made this promise, not to fight, he immediately took up that huge, huh? Bhishma, yeah. Yeah, he was a great grandfather warrior, right? Yeah, Bhishma. Yeah, he was such an expert warrior that he was going to practically defeat Arjuna. So Krishna took up this, you see the picture in the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam, Krishna took up this huge wheel, didn't he? And he was prepared to give up his reputation because he wanted to protect his devotee. So reputation is one thing, but on the other hand, when it's connected to spirituality, one might be prepared to give up one's reputation. For instance, you know the story of Rupa Goswami. He was a great scholar, wasn't he? And there was that scholarly man who was very puffed up going around defeating everyone, right? He considered himself a great scholar. He was debating with so many Vaishnavas. And he heard, oh, Rupa Goswami, he's a great scholar. I will go to him and defeat him. So he came, and Rupa Goswami was just absorbed in his services to Krishna, and he knew the character of this person. So he said, oh yeah, give me your paper, I would just sign. And, you know, he wasn't so concerned with his reputation as a scholar, was he? He just signed that paper and just, he wasn't bothered. So in one sense you could say, although we are concerned with our reputations for the sake, that there are moments when we're not so worried about it. And perhaps even if we see sometimes a devotee, actually we have pride, because we say, yeah, we want to be Krishna's devotee. So that is important to us in our lives. And so we do have some self-pride. We don't want to, we have some a reputation to keep. Yes, we are devotee of Krishna, and therefore the one social pressure may be on, or that yes, I must succeed in this task. That's okay. That's how we should be. And this gives us strength. If we can use our attachment to reputation to keep us in spirituality, that's a good thing. But should we see devotees who are having difficulty in their spirituality, still we should not think them, oh, we thought they were good devotees, now they have some problems, so therefore they're no longer held in such high esteem to us. That's not a good consciousness to be in. There is some concession that if a devotee has a difficult time, the other devotees, they look kindly upon this and do not take seriously the devotee's problems. And he is still to be considered a devotee, isn't it? That's right. So On one hand, reputation is there, we can utilize in Krishna's service. On another hand, we can be detached from it. And we see that in ultimately in Krishna Lila, you can study, you'll see in the residence of Vrindavan, the gopis are there, their example is there, Srimati Radharani. They also had reputations in the village of Vrindavan. And actually, they were also attached to their reputations, and they decided that when Krishna called them, when he was playing on his flute, they would just immediately go to Krishna, even at the cost of being chastised and thought of as being not chastised, not chaste to their husbands. They were prepared to give up that for Krishna. So, like that. So Bali Maharaj here, he got the opportunity to surrender everything to Krishna personally. Krishna, this is a rare thing. Krishna comes and he asks you for everything personally in the form of Vamadev. This is a very rare thing. So, Hare Krishna. This is because of Prahlad Maharaj's mercy on him that Krishna personally came. So also one might think us as people trying to practice spirituality, we have a similar opportunity actually, because the guru, he is the servitor of Godhead, he is the representative of Krishna. He also comes to us and tells us to surrender everything, doesn't he? You cannot separate guru from Krishna. He is the same spiritual energy as Krishna. Krishna comes in different forms, and the Guru is the servitor God. He's coming, and he's also saying to us. So the same business is there. For one and all, surrender to the representatives. Give your life to him. Love him. Serve him. So, it is not that this opportunity is only there for Bali Maharaj. It is there for us as well. So we should understand that when we enter into such a relationship with Guru, with Krishna, with Krishna's representatives, as in the case of Bali Maharaj, there was some demands put on him. He asked, you know, one step of land, two step. Where am I going to put this third step? And then on your head. So similarly, when we surrender to the Guru, we have to deeply understand what that surrender might be. So at that point, the Guru's business is one of cutting the disciples and anarthas. This is the thing. So the most important thing in relationship with the Guru is that we hear from him, and he teaches us about ourselves, how we are conditioned by the material energy. So we hear from him. He'll tell us, chant Hare Krishna purely. He'll tell us to avoid the mind, avoid the anartha, go through anartha and vritti. You know, he'll say, you have a wicked mind. Srila Gaugavana Swami always used to say, the wicked mind, whenever you hear from him, he speaks a lot on that topic. Prabhupada also, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, all these anarthas, what is this? This has to be uprooted. So, Guru will tell us, chant Hare Krishna, and give up material motivations. And all the subtleties of being a Vishaya. So the Guru comes and he speaks on these things. We have to hear from him. And we have to take his instruction very seriously. In that way, we will become very aware of our conditioned nature. This is part of spirituality. He comes. And he makes us aware of our conditioned nature. So you know, in the story of Bali Maharaj, Vamadeva saying surrender, and his guru Shukacharya, he was saying, no, don't, because so many reasons he gave. But similarly, our minds, guru comes and says, surrender. Our minds will give so many reasons why we shouldn't. It's like Shukacharya. No, we cannot surrender to Krishna. We have so many reasons why we shouldn't. So in the same way that Shukacharya was discarded by Vali Maharaj, similarly we have to discard this mind and what it's trying to tell us. It will try to trick us in so many ways. So we should have this pride in ourselves that we are devotee of Krishna. But at the same time, a pure devotee, he considers himself actually not fit at all to take up the path of devotion. So although there is some pride in being a devotee, trying to be a devotee, at the same time, a devotee feels inadequate in so many different ways. And he is forever dependent on his guru and the previous acharyas and the mercy of Krishna, and ultimately the mercy of Srimati Radharani, so that he can be given mercy and established in devotional life. This is how his consciousness is. He is very humble like that. He never considers himself to be a great devotee, but he is trying to be a devotee like that. That's how the Vaishnavas are. So these jivas, Krishna says, you are trying to be an enjoyer, but actually you are my part and parcel. That's why Krishna has come to, we were saying in the beginning, what is Krishna's mission? What is the mission of the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Manovishtam? What is it? In Mamevam so Jiva Loka, Jiva Bhutta Snatana, Manasistani Indrani, Pukuti Stadi Kasti. You are my parts and parcels. You belong in the spiritual world. You should learn to love me, Krishna says, and give up this struggle with your mind and senses. The mind and senses are always trying to deviate us. So Krishna says like that in Bhagavad Gita. Mamevam so jiva loka, jiva bhutasnana, mani sistani. You have got this mind, you have got these senses, and they are trying to deviate you in so many ways. So this has to be looked into very carefully. Now the question is, what to do with these mind and senses? Kulakshetra Prabhu, we gave class 2 days ago, is discussing the mind, and we're not this mind, we're not this body, we're something different. At the same time, we have this mind, we have these senses. What to do with them? They are belonging to Krishna, isn't it? It's one of Krishna's energies, the mind. Although we're not the mind, same time, the mind is one of the senses, right? What is the mind? The mind is representing your individuality, with your mind, you're planning and thinking of so many things. This represents your independence. You can think of, how many things can you think of? Sisi, Radhikul Kumanda, Sitaman, Mosman, Hanuman, Sisi, Gorna, Taikita. You can think of so many endless ways of enjoying separately from Krishna with your mind, isn't it? So many, the mind will go like that. This represents our independence. So what to do with this mind? We must surrender it to Krishna. Then it becomes spiritual. It becomes spiritual. Like Prabhupada says, like iron and fire. If you have iron is like cold steel, isn't it? You put that iron in fire, And that cold steel becomes fire. Some people say, oh no, it's not fire, it is steel that's heat. And Prabhupada says, well, touch it then. If you touch that, it is like fire. So similarly, our mind and our senses, when they are utilized in the service of Krishna, they become completely spiritual. And in that way, one is linked to Krishna. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, one whose mind is controlled, the supersoul is already reached. So this is the key. Therefore, Prabhupada says, the devotee is very expert ignoring his mind, but at the same time, he utilizes his mind in thinking about Krishna. So this is the process. We have to always be 24 hours a day, we have to be thinking about Krishna, his lila, his pastimes, or Prabhupada would also say, making plans to establish the manobhistam of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in that way, we can make the best use of a bad bargain by Krishnaizing our lives. So this is Krishna consciousness. And the devotee who does that like that, the pure devotee of Krishna, his body and his mind, it is spiritual. You cannot say that the pure devotee's body is material. No, it's not material. Because everything is Krishna's energy. And one who utilizes his body in a proper way, his body becomes spiritual. Therefore, the great sadhus, when they leave their body, so-called, then they are put in samadhi. So for a devotee, Prabhupada used to say, whether a devotee lives or dies, doesn't matter. It's the same, he's doing the same service. And he gives the example of a prince who has very good karma. He's living so wonderfully. But at the cost of his high living, sometimes he is committing some sinful activities. But he's enjoying the results of his good karma. So Prabhupada said, yes, you should live. Live long, don't die. Because in living, you'll enjoy your karma. When you die, you have to suffer the results. And then for the butcher, Prabhupada, the example is there. Don't live, don't die. Because in living, you have such a hellish life. So, and when you die, you have hell coming to you as well. For a devotee, whether he's living or dying, is the same business. It is devotional service. So this is spirituality. Now there is sukriti from giving. When you speak about giving, in the Krishna consciousness movement, the devotees are encouraged to go out among the people and get them to give. This is very, very good for them. So the book distributors are going up, they're asking people for donations, and anyone who gives anything to Krishna is highly benefited. This is very wonderful welfare work. It is called Bhakti Mukhi Sukriti. This type of Sukriti is required. And this is the great seva that is done by the sadhus. So this is our mission. This is the manobhistam of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We have to go out among the people and give them Krishna consciousness so they can hear about Krishna, they can take a book, and it's like that. Hear the holy name, associate with the devotees. But if they can give something of their Lakshmi, that is a great service, and that is the great fortune, and that is the business of the devotees of the Krishna consciousness movement. If we do like that, then the highest welfare work comes about, and also the highest knowledge of Krishna will come about when you're doing that business. Never mind reading Bhagavatam. You can read Bhagavatam, you can chant Hare Krishna, this is very nice, you will definitely gain some. But you go out on the mission of the Guru and actually surrender to that mission, your consciousness will be so elevated just by doing that duty. Have you not experienced sometimes when you're doing Sankirtan, when you're, you know, the type of consciousness, you'll come back from a day's activity and you can see the world in a different way. You'll actually see, oh, these are parts of Krishna. Your consciousness will be totally different if you actually surrender to that mission, that guru. Therefore, never mind Nirjam Bhajan. Nirjam Bhajan, you can go and chant Hare Krishna quietly to yourself. That's all right. But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, he would say, yes, for a few people, if you're highly elevated, this you can do. But for the majority of all, you go out and give Krishna consciousness to people, and in that way you'll get the highest mercy. And you'll actually, that's what I'm saying, by gyan you cannot understand, but by that bhakti, and specifically, Krishna says, those that give Krishna consciousness to others, they are very, very dear to me. And what is the result is that you gain knowledge. And actually in that consciousness, you can then read Bhagavatam, then chant the holy name, and you'll find deeper understandings will come. So it's all a question of revelation. That is the process. So other types of skriti may be there. You may give some charity, like for instance Bill Gates. Bill Gates, you know Bill Gates? Yes. Yes, everyone knows Bill Gates, very famous man. He is a computer wizard, and he is now spending all his time giving his money away. So people say, well, wonderful thing. And it is, isn't it? He's spending his money on trying to rid the world of malaria. What do you think? Oh, that's nice sentiment. Yes, we shall rid the world of disease, but, you know, with all due respect to Mr. Bill Gates, I think it's a good sentiment, but even if you get over one disease, another disease is there. I mean, how much money do you have to spend on getting rid of disease in society? But anyway, this is philanthropy. And for doing such activity as Bill Gates, in his next life, is said in our Shastra, that he will be free from disease because he's tried to help so many people. But this is called Bhogamukhi Sukriti, because by such Sukriti he will gain benefit that his next life he will be free from disease. Actually, it is a very good thing, education. Education is educating people about the condition of how to stay clean is very good. That's all part of Vedic culture. Therefore, when you come a Hare Krishna devotee, you're taught how to become clean, how to become brahminical. Isn't it? Brahminical person, very clean, very tidy. He's very aware. So he has knowledge. Actually, the real solution will be to give people Krishna consciousness. Automatically, by their Krishna consciousness, they'll become elevated and they'll come to the mode of goodness and beyond. And by that mode of goodness, then they'll see, oh, this is how to live properly. Oh yeah, we shall take precautions for mosquitoes. And also, of course, by establishing Vana Ashram, by establishing brahminical people who are advising the Kshatriyas how to run the world, a lot of these problems will be solved. Isn't it? Disease, lack of education, poverty. The whole world will run in a lot nicer way if the genuine devotees of Krishna were to be listened to and advised. They would advise so many things, wouldn't it? I mean, you know, this is practical. So this Bhogamukhi Sukriti, this giving up opulence, giving up your, like Bill Gates is an example and so many other, they want to give up their wealth for this service of others. But Bali Maharaj, he's giving everything. And the devotee, he is giving the most because he's giving his whole life. He's giving his body, mind, speech, everything to Krishna. He's giving his very self. He's returning his very self back to Krishna. That is the highest of all. So one who gives to Krishna, he's never the loser. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, little advancement on this path, it protects you from the greatest fear. So this is, again, the great activities of the devotee, how he tries to help people advance in their lives. If they simply give a little, turn themselves toward Krishna and Krishna consciousness. You know, the Christians have a saying, what profiteth a man who gains the entire world but loses his soul? Even the, you know, all the religions understand these things. So knowledge, this knowledge of Krishna, this knowledge of how to act properly, how to see things in the right context. This is the verse, Vasudeva Bhagavati, Bhakti Yoga Pahojita, Gyananesha Vairagyam, Gyanam Chayadahatikam. By rendering devotional service to Krishna, that is the way one gains real knowledge. And then you can become a real renouncer, because there's different sorts of renunciation. There is the monkey renunciation, right? There is the falgun, the false renunciation. And then there is yukta viragya, the right renunciation. So we have to learn how to renounce properly. We cannot artificially renounce and then later, you know, find ourselves in the wrong situation. Like the monkeys, they seem to be renounced. They live in the forest, they have fruits, but they're very attached to sex life. So this is not a good thing. One should live in a nice, balanced way where he can slowly but surely extract himself from the path of the material energy. So, Mahaprabhu himself, he came and he taught the example. That verse, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga Shikshashtam Ika Purushapayanaha Sri Krishna Taitanya Siddhadani Kripal Yastamaham Bhavajante. So Mahaprabhu has come to teach us what is devotion, what is not devotion. By his personal example, he is teaching us how to become renounced, how to chant the holy name in a pure way under the direction of the devotees. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in his Leela, he's teaching us so many things. Like the instance of Haridas, Junior Haridas, he gave that example. Junior Haridas, what fault did he make? He just went to get some rice from one man. But Prabhupada was teaching there, don't be hypocritical. Keep your mind fixed on Krishna. Don't say to your devotee and then do something different. So like that. I was going to make a few other points, but coming towards the end. One point I'll just finish off by saying that the Christians, you know, they like to give, don't they? You know, in fact, the Church of England became very wealthy on the ploy of, if you give your wealth before your death to God, then you'll be benefited so much, you won't go to hell. Therefore, the church became very wealthy on that point. But we have to be careful on these points. Organized religions, you're very dodgy, isn't it? Do you think organized religion is a good thing? What do you think? Sometimes organized religions can be very dodgy businesses because they can, like the Christian church, for instance, you can get to the stage where if you have too much organization, then the people or the followers, they become the authority because they've, you know, become such a big church. Money's given, so many people are there. And therefore people think, actually, yes, the society as a whole, this is the most important thing. And what the democracy in the society, that's what holds the key to the success of the society. So this is what happened in some of the Christian churches. And even today, many religions, they're under pressure because they're not acting in the way that society would want them to act. They'll say, well, you're too strict on some things. Why don't you mellow out a bit and make your rules and regulations a little less strict and like that. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta warns on this point and says, you must understand that one should not conform to a society in one sense. One should only surrender to the guru, the spiritual master, the self-realized soul. He is who we are surrendering to, not an organized religion, but to the Sadguru, pure guru, because otherwise you'll find that the pure devotees in an organized religion, you'll find that the position of the guru is minimized. You know, that can be the case. And then everyone listens to the general body of the huge organized religion, and they don't want to listen to the pure devotee anymore. They want to follow what the general is. So this is a very important point. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta makes that point. And he actually tells a good story about a wise old monkey. You know the story of the wise old monkey? Yeah, it's a good story there. That there was this king, he kept monkeys for the amusement of his children in his palace. And very opulent, the monkeys were fed regularly, so much food. They were in a very wonderful position. They were very well kept. But then this wise old monkey, he saw that there was this ram, you know, this sheep ram. He was running into the kitchen sometimes stealing food. And sometimes the chef would get very angry and he would beat that ram and throw him out. But this wise old monkey began to think, actually, one day what could happen is that this ram could run into the kitchen and he could try to steal something, and the cook, he will have nothing to beat him other than a log from the fire. And he'll throw that log at that ram, and that ram's coat will catch fire. And that ram will then run into the stables of the horses of the king, and then the stables will burn down, and some of the horses will die, and others will be burnt very severely. He could see all this monkey. He's thinking, this could happen. And therefore, and what is the cure for burnt flesh of a horse? It is the monkey flesh. And therefore, he thought, we are in great danger here. We're relying on this king having an easy life. But actually, what we should do is return to the forest, lead a simple life, and not be so reliant on this. So, the monkey, the wise old monkey, he went to the followers and he said to them, you should, this very thing could happen. We are in great danger here. We should just leave and go back to the forest. And the followers did not want to hear from him. They didn't want to hear, no, we have such a nice life. You're just an old man. You're an old monkey. What do you know? That's what they were saying. You're just an old monkey. You're just getting a bit senile in your old age. You're getting paranoid about the situation. Therefore, we don't want to listen to you anymore. And the monkey left and went to the forest. And lo and behold, what happened was that the ram went into the kitchen and he tried to steal food. The chef threw this log at him. The ram's sheep, fire, it caught fire, went into the stables. The stable block caught fire. And some of the horses died and some become injured. And the king said, what is it that will cure this burned? And the veterinary said, we must take the flesh of young monkeys. And therefore all the monkeys were slain. And the wise old monkey was in the forest and he thought, he was lamenting at the condition. But and the moral of the story is that we should never consider the Sadguru, the position of the pure devotee, and his ways and means of doing things. We should never deviate from that, thinking, he doesn't know. You know, he said this and he said that. Actually, it's a new age now. We need to do this, we need to do that. We need different, there's different things now. So that's what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says. You should, you know, it is the position of the disciple sometimes becomes, thinks he knows better than his guru. He thinks he knows better. Or the society might think it knows better now. So we have to be very careful on these points. So this is a very wonderful story. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is giving so much knowledge to us in so many different ways. So, another time. We can speak on other topics. So, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions, comments?